Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. One more hour with you. Breaking down all things Kings. We will get to the Niners Pro Bowl votes and who was snubbed.
Because, of course, it can't be about the nine players that got in, right?
Well,
I'm not saying you.
What we have
to do. I saw the discourse.
What I haven't seen yet is just who got in. And maybe, Nate, I don't know if you've already been on top of this, but who got in instead of, I won't tease it any longer. I'm sure everybody knows. Brandon Ayuk did not make the Pro Bowl team.
Not the Pro Bowl.
So, yeah, we'd have to look and see which receivers made it in. Because when there's a snub, that means things were close.
Right.
It's not as if Brandon Ayuk was blowing
just forgotten
these
about
other guys out of the water and they just decided not to select him. So we'd have to look at, before I speak on that, we'd have to look at who got in instead of him. And because I didn't even see that last night. I just saw he was snubbed.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, actually, there was this, there was that, there was this receiver, that receiver. So people are just mad, even though, like you said, a ton of Niners did get in. So we'll chat about that as well. Before we get to the Lakers, I had a text that I wanted to read.
Oh.
And this is obviously from the Folsom Lake.
Is it the one about Joe Ingles looking like Dave?
No, but
do people think
Joe Ingles looks like Dave? I've seen that a couple times.
Yes, dude. I was standing on the court yesterday, turned around, thought Dave was throwing up shots behind me.
Just cashing
out. It was weird. I forgot Joe Ingles played for them even.
Yeah, he did not play last night. But yeah, Joe Ingles, does he look like
Dave? He was in the scrum when Malik and Anthony Black got into it.
That's why.
Is that allowed?
I think for players who are not suited up, you can go out there for whatever reason. But
that doesn't seem right.
I know for sure. There's the infamous Spurs Suns series where I think there was a couple Suns players who got off the bench to try and break up a fight, got suspended for a game, then the Suns lost the series. I'm pretty sure it's just players suited up cannot leave the bench to try and de-escalate a situation.
Up. I see.
So since he was injured, I think it's kind of just a nothing.
Yeah, and
he's
it's
already
Joe
hurt.
Ingles.
And so it's
he's from down under,
you're gonna
dude.
Suspend someone when they come back from
maybe
injury. It's kind of like a
right.
Yeah, just a weird thing.
So this is from the 916.
Anyways, the text.
Let's just be real. The Kings need to trade Barnes.
Okay.
That forward position isn't good, and we can trade for a power forward and move Keegan. Or they say that small forward position isn't good, and we can trade for a power forward.
Okay.
And move Keegan to small forward, or trade for a power forward and leave Keegan at the four.
Yeah. I think that we've been saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that. The question is who?
Right. I mean, that's and I think that's why the deal hasn't been done yet, is because it's the who. I think we all know that Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter, if you want to throw him into the mix as well, were the two starting spots where it was the clear and obvious upgrade. I mean, Sabonis isn't going anywhere for the time being. De'Aaron isn't going anywhere. Keegan's here to stay for the time being. I mean, those spots are not getting moved. And so, that leaves Kevin Herter, who's had an unspectacular season, and Harrison Barnes, who just does Harrison Barnes things every night. And it's those are clearly the two spots. Again, like you said, for who? That's the thing. We all know what the problem is, I wouldn't say it a problem, but the spot of improvement could come from. It's just who is that player that you think is this perfect fit, and how do you get that perfect fit without trading off either of those three guys that we just brought up? And I don't think today is the right time for the conversation.
17 points.
But I do wonder, I would like to hyper-emphasize today is not the time for this conversation, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. If fans are so adamant about that being, the Kings have to go out there and make a big upgrade, why isn't Malik Monk's name thrown out there? That's an expiring contract. Today is not the time to have the conversation at all. After he has a 37-point night, has an entire hour of this show dedicated to him, definitely not the time for today. But if we're serious about, the Kings need to go out there and make a move, well, we keep talking about how Harrison Barnes Kevin Herter, Davion Mitchell aren't good enough pieces. Well, you have a guy who's on an expiring contract, and, you know, in theory, like, I would say Malik's probably your second best asset behind Keegan. Why don't you, if it's such an urgent move to hop on the Western Conference right now, and you can definitely throw back that Malik is, if you lose Malik, that's a massive hole. But if you're trying to get better 3 years from now and Malik on an expiring contract might get a bag from somewhere else or might get a starting opportunity from somewhere else, it might be gone in 2 or 3 years. Why don't you try and cash in that piece right now for something that could help you long term? It's just a thought. It's just a thought experiment. Again, not the time for the conversation after he has a 37-point night and has some of the greatest quotes I've ever heard.
Wouldn't it? First of all, it's not happening. But I understand your thought process. But wouldn't the easy answer be that person that you are getting back that just ruins the bench? So that person right. you're getting back might make you better
yeah.
as a whole, mm-hmm. but your bench would now be lacking.
Well, why is it okay to trade Keegan then? That's my thing is why
well,
is
this
it
person didn't say.
This person isn't saying that, but I'm yeah. just saying in general, if we're saying it's okay it's to imperative trade Keegan, for the Kings to get that third guy, but we don't also want to move on from Keegan. Well, if you are one of those people who doesn't want to move on from mm-hmm. Keegan, but thinks we need to make a big swing, then you're saying we should trade Malik is what I would say you are saying. Because yeah. you can't be serious about getting, as we've talked about, you're not going to get Pascal Siakam for Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter, and Davion Mitchell. And, you know, maybe the thing that's going to get you there is the picks.
Right.
But if you want to maybe alleviate some picks, I'm just saying, and again, I don't even, not the time. Not the time. But
it's
I'm just
fair.
Saying. I'm just saying.
It's fair, yeah. right? I think Malik to me.
I don't want it to happen
it's
either.
It's a heart. Yeah.
I mean, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
But that is why ultimately. But this is an exact example of not wanting to make those tough decisions.
Yes.
If Harrison Barnes is so bad, why would anybody want him just himself and a pick, right? Is Harrison Barnes and a pick going to get you something better than Harrison Barnes? I don't know. This is what you can get, 916. We did this a couple days ago. You want Marcus Morris Sr. from Philly?
Yeah.
That works. That yeah. money works.
Yep.
You get Marcus Morris Sr. Yep. having 6 minutes.
Yep.
And they're getting paid the same amount of money. You yep. can make the argument. Maybe he's being underutilized because sure. the Sixers are rolling.
Yeah. I looked it up. He averaged 15 points a game last year.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. But that's what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. It's going to be somebody else that you might complain about a little bit less.
Yes. Yes.
It's not going to be somebody that skyrockets unless this isn't your full story and you're okay with trading. Yeah. You're not okay with trading Keegan. Oh. That's what brought you to the Malik Monk because like we said, Kevin Herter just got benched, okay?
Not everyone can be untradeable.
No, you can't. Everybody can't be untradeable. I don't know what Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes gets you. I truly don't.
But you know what could raise Harrison Barnes' value, to my point, is throwing Malik in there.
Yeah.
Like, if you think, okay, Harrison and Herter don't get you there, but if I throw Malik in there, does that get you a
but
little
bit more?
But we
need names because
no, for sure.
does Absolutely. Harrison and Herter get you Dorian Finney-Smith?
I don't know. I really don't.
We don't know
Brandon
what the
would
line
tell
is.
You no.
Right. We yeah. don't know. Would say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon would tell you that. Yeah. They would say no. I mean, because the mock trades that Brandon's thrown out there have all included like a version of a first round pick.
People want to get younger. And I know Kevin Herter is only 25, but people are trying to get younger. Think of it like a redraft. Think of it like a transfer portal. They don't want older guys. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
They want guys. These are teams
Unless
that
like
are
the
selling.
Bucks or something.
Right. Yeah. Right, unless there's a contender out there, hey, give me Bobby Portis, right? I know you know I want him. But it's just not that simple. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, and we will get to the Lakers, who, yes, are in shambles. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We have an update on possible future Sacramento King, Draymond Green.
Oh, no.
Stop.
This is from Woj. This was earlier today. Golden State's Draymond Green on an indefinite league suspension since December 13th. I believe he's missed about 10 games so far.
Yep.
Is expected to return to the Warriors facility in the coming days to start ramping up to resume play again.
Interesting.
Light the beam! Light it!
He's so here.
He's probably going to land at about 15 games, something like that.
Then there'll be some reconditioning, and then he'll miss a game because, I can't think of a reason, but he's going to miss a game because he needs to make his debut when he's returning against the Kings. So what's going to happen? I'm telling you, it's just going
to
happen.
I will be right there watching just to see how he is.
I got a question for you guys. Okay, so let's say he comes back for that Kings game, right? That's his first game back.
Yep.
Would you take a Kings loss there for him to get ejected in that game and get suspended again?
No. No.
Okay.
No. I love drama. It would be sad, but it would be really funny.
Nothing like where he really hurts someone.
Right.
But
it's more about the Kings loss that I'm saying no to.
Okay, look at you, loyal.
I mean, look, man, you can't afford
There's ever been a question of Allen's loyalty.
That's right.
That sentence right there.
Honestly, though, that kind of might help the Kings down the line. I don't know. Just destroy the dynasty quicker.
Yeah. Make them feel like Draymond's back.
The Warriors are done.
They are.
If you're watching the four-letter network. When are the Warriors and Lakers going to get back on track?
Dude, Pods is like about to be an all-star. I'm surprised he's not on that all-star list. Dude, Trayce Jackson-Davis pretty much needs his own list.
He's getting the Supermax.
Bro.
All right.
Oh, my God.
From the 916, what do you guys think of Kuzma? He's taller and stronger than Barnes, a versatile offensive player, plays with a chip on his shoulder, can fit into a running team, seems interested in playing with D-Fox. Well, I love Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't – again, we joke about Harrison Barnes being the, hey, wear a suit guy – I could see Washington needing some of that, right?
Because you got Jordan Poole
running around.
HB and Poole just talk about how much they hate. You know who I hate?
Yeah.
I hate that guy Draymond. Dude, I hate that guy Draymond.
There's a connection there.
Yeah.
There's a connection there. I think maybe you have Kevin Herter, Maryland guy, DMV area. You get him to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
They would clearly need picks because they're trying to get younger. Yeah. You might throw in a Colby Jones in there.
Davion,
throw
maybe
some
just
guys
in there. Throw the whole old reliable package at him.
Does anybody want this? Somebody want this?
Please.
I feel like I'm getting roasted
it
here.
It feels like
with the oatmeal raisin cookies.
You remember like those early YouTube videos of, I'm going to trade this paperclip into a house. And it's like, okay, we're stuck at the portion where we have a Harrison, a Herter, and a Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
How can we turn these things in for whatever's next?
Yes.
That's where they're at now.
That's where they're at. I don't know that Washington would say no because you are looking at winning players, right? If you're going to give, is Kuzma worth to you? You have Harrison, Kevin Herter. So now, obviously Kuzma's the starter now, but you're done with Harrison.
Yep.
Okay, so somebody, you got to make up those minutes somewhere.
Yep.
Right? I don't even know. I'm not even looking at the trade. We'll do it next week with the trade generator for the Kings roundtable. I don't know how the money would work.
Yeah, the Wizards would probably need to send someone.
They'd have to send somebody back. So maybe, hopefully, I don't think they'd send Denny because Denny's young.
Right.
Right? So they're not sending Tyus. I'd love that.
No.
But that would be incredible.
You're asking me to know multiple people on the Wizards
roster
now.
I'm already capped. Those are my four. Those are my four that I named. So that's where it ends.
Yeah, they really aren't paying anybody. Maybe they can get Landry Shamet or something. He's somebody who at one point seemed he hasn't really lived up to his potential at one point. But yeah, maybe he's somebody just for salary filler, but
while we're at it, this is from Shams, okay, talking about the Lakers. There's currently a deepening disconnect between Darvin Ham and the Lakers locker room. Six sources.
How many?
Count them out. Leaks.
Come on.
Six sources with direct knowledge of the situation say, raising questions about the head coach's standing. Those sources have described that the disjointness between the coach and team has stemmed from the extreme rotation and starting lineup adjustments recently from Ham, leading to a fluctuating rhythm for several players across the roster.
It's just LeBron on six different phones.
Yeah,
is that the sources?
Yeah. An Android, an iPhone, a sidekick.
Huawei.
Yeah.
And then one is just
a cricket.
Rich Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one is Rich Paul.
You know he's got a razor on there, a juke.
Gotta have a razor.
Those are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have a burner.
So I saw a guy who I follow. He is into a big NBA Twitter guy as well, Josh Eberle. He said, see pretty often, if you're the Lakers and you're stuck the way you're stuck, mm-hmm. and this comes around every year, this is the Lakers cycle. We're going to be good. We're not good. Whose fault is it? Fire the coach. So Josh says, do you think about trading LeBron and the assets you'd get back?
You can't. I don't think LeBron is like even able to be traded. Like, how do you properly put value on what LeBron is?
I don't know.
Like seriously, like even like what would be a trade package that makes sense for either team? Because even if OKC were to just throw the books at him, it's like, why would OKC want a guy who's maybe got like two, three?
Well,
more
OKC
years
doesn't
left
need
best.
Him. You know who would take
him? Who? Please, who would take him?
Two teams.
Okay.
In Northern California. I think either one.
Okay, but like, okay, let's do it. Let's do the exercise. We just tried to get Kyle Kuzma here and struggled. Let's try and get LeBron James over
it's
to the
a little
Kings.
Bit different.
What are the assets that are going to be necessary
well,
that makes
Keegan's gone.
Exactly, and how does that make sense already?
Malik's gone then too, right?
Yeah, I just mean Keegan. Like you're selling
well, the problem
out
is,
for
yeah,
one
the problem
year.
Is, I don't even know how what's the amount of picks you're able to give up. You're either not going to have a full roster or you're not going to have picks until Rain Fox is about 18 years old. That's the problem here.
You can give him the rights to Rain Fox is what we can do.
Okay.
The bird rights.
Okay. Okay. Right,
if we can get LeBron and Bryce, okay, the rights to Bryce James.
Rain Fox is like a tennis player, not even playing basketball.
This is an assumption risk that you're taking, you know?
Yeah.
And we will give you Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, and you're really twisting our arm here, but
Sasha,
we're going to give you the future rights to Rain Fox. Take it or leave it.
That look, you know, you get first dibs on the contract.
Think about all the graphics you can make for the next 18 years, Laker fans, if you have this guy waiting.
No, but let's just, okay, but seriously, though, LeBron for Keegan
what?
Right now. Let's say they just said,
Lakers
screw
aren't
it.
Doing it. I don't think the Lakers are doing it.
LeBron, okay, but just and a bunch of picks. Picks your next two first rounders.
I think you'd do it, right?
You'd have to.
Why would the Lakers do it?
Yeah, no.
I'm
but
saying would you
the
do
king,
it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Chris.
Well, because it's like again, like you're gonna ship off Keegan Murray, who could be here for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're gonna ship off tons of picks, so you can't get better after LeBron leaves you, and you're selling it all for this 1 year of hopefully we win the finals.
You don't know if it's only 1 year.
Okay, well then the next 2 years or 3 years max of being in like possibly finals contention.
Yeah.
You're training that.
I can't even have this conversation.
And you know Mike Brown's getting fired at some point because of LeBron or whatever.
He's coached
them. Yeah. You guys have to ask Drapes and Whitey in the crosstalk this question.
I would think
I feel like that's going to be...
The funny thing is the Warriors could actually make...
No, please ask.
You might unplug my microphone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Draper would stop talking for the rest of crosstalk.
I want to know what he'd say.
He would probably just say, I'll be back in 12 minutes.
I don't want to ask.
Oh, man. I'll get... Okay, I'll do it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it. All right.
I mean, at least the Warriors can again throw out their old reliable. You can do Kuminga. You can Moody. Do Kuminga Moody.
We're all
star pod.
We're all stuck. Yeah. We're all stuck. The Kings and the Warriors with the same tired trade pieces. Exactly. It's like Masai Ujiri's on the other side of this. We're on the upside down side of this.
Yes.
Masai's like, who do you want? Well, we still got the same people, so we drafted pretty well. We got Pajemski now. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we are continuing to talk about the Lakers. Also have that update, like we said, on Draymond. And some sound from Klay Thompson, who, again, a little earlier in the show, we played sound from Coach Mike Brown being very open with us about his relationship with Malik Monk. And we say a lot of jokes on this show, especially when it comes to the Warriors. But Klay Thompson, after their game against the
Magic,
he opened up in a way that we do not see very often. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Light the beam! Light it!
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 30 more minutes with you. Talking Kings, talking all things NBA. Also talking Draymond Green, who is, I guess, going back to the facility very soon. And Bob Myers had some things to say about it. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Here is Bob Myers talking about what it's going to take and how exhausting it can be working with Draymond Green.
They don't know what they are. I mean, it's without him, he's the fulcrum. And Draymond Green is such a good defensive player and has been such a great leader. That's been tested lately. And there's a void. I mean, that's the truth. There's a void without him. 6-4, I don't think that's real. I think that's a little bit of a mirage. I don't think they think they're on to something without Draymond Green. He's good enough to make any team a good defensive team. So without him, they're what, a 16th, 17th in the league in defense. He's always made the Warriors a good defensive team. The hard thing with these things is when a player goes through something like this or a team, and I was there for many distractions. I mean, you guys covered all of them. It's just hard. It takes energy. It takes energy to deal with these things. It takes energy to have to lose a player for an amount of time, to bring them back into the fold. Steve Kerr's trying to figure out the rotations. And when Draymond gets back, that kind of all starts over again. Steph has had to try to figure out the reliance of Curry on Draymond is something we all know and know well. Mm-hmm. So and then he loses him and says, okay, I got to figure out how to play with CP, which CP is great at it. But it's something that has caused, in many ways, a period of time where it's just a great amount of uncertainty. And now they got to come back when he comes back, when that is, and figure it out again. And it's just exhausting. That's the hard part of it. A lot of time left. They've been in a ton of games, 25 clutch games. I don't know if that's good or bad. But not where they want to be. Steve Kerr's still trying to get it right. Steph Curry's still, I believe, might be the best leader in sports. So he's going to keep him on the path. But you just got to get Draymond back as soon as you can and then plug him in and see what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that doesn't really sound like they should move on. I think, honestly, he's just as confused as everybody else as to what to do. He's saying, oh, I don't think that they're cooking without their 6-4 without him. I don't think that they feel like they're cooking without him. But at the same time, you bring him in, you got to start all over.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
as they're just kind of getting used to not having him.
Right. So basically what he's saying is short term, it might feel like it's good, right? Long term, you're probably going to need Draymond. But either way, you're going to have to take some bumps in a road to get to that long term. And they're under, I believe they're still under 500.
Yep.
They don't have time to do this.
16-17. Yep. And, I mean, you know, the Lakers, especially when we consider the fact that, I mean, it's the Lakers are going to make a move at some point. Like, they're definitely going to look to get better, and the Warriors are just kind of chasing, like, and they're on the outside looking in, and like Bob said there, like, They're going to have some more bumps in the road when Draymond comes back. It's not going to be an easy transition. You're seeing, you know, we were just joking about it, but Pajemski's finally in the starting rotation, and he's playing really well. You have Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's now in the starting lineup for Kevon Looney. How is Draymond going to play next to him? Because, frankly, Trayce Jackson-Davis does a lot of, offensively especially, a lot of similar things to Draymond, and it's going to be a clunky fit for a team that already was a bit clunky, and then you're going to have the Draymond emotional side of this as well, where you just don't know how it's going to be. Is he going to continue to have the same level of fire? You can have the conversation of, you know, was that fire necessary for the Warriors at times? Did Draymond need to sometimes speak up? We talk a lot about internal vocal leadership here in Sacramento. Right. Draymond provides that over there. Like, will he still feel like, you know, and it was a similar conversation. I think he even admitted last year to that being a balancing act when he came back from the initial suspension, of him trying to figure out, I'm supposed to be a team leader for this squad, but I also was just suspended for being overly, like, for crossing a line, essentially. How do I figure out how to still have that sort of say and that level of credibility without me getting to the point where I've gone to in the past? And, I mean, it's going to be, like, all of that is incredibly difficult. And like you said, the Warriors are 500 on the outside looking in of the play-in right now. So, I mean, if you're a Warrior fan, or if you're surrounded by Warrior land, I don't think there's much reason to feel good or feel like this season is, you know, we just talked about the Kings at noon turning a corner. It doesn't feel like the Warriors are anywhere near a corner.
No. You bring back Draymond, and at this point, you made your bed, as the saying goes. You made your bed, you got to sleep in it. And they decided to extend Draymond 4 years, 25, after he punched someone, after numerous situations had happened. At this point, why not? At this point, why not just see what happens? Maybe they find – you still got to make a move, right? I mean, but this whole if the idea was that what Draymond does is so unique to the Kings, this shouldn't change that. This shouldn't really change that at all. So, yeah, it's quite the story out there in the Bay.
Would you move on from him? Do you think the Warriors should? Like, before he even – I mean
– what's his value?
I guess that's the point too, right? Is from a Dunleavy perspective, why are you going to move on from him when your asset's at his lowest possible value? I guess that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but are you really willing to go through the ups and downs that we were just talking about? And I mean, is also, here's the question. Is the Warriors season, I mean, we've pretty much already counted them out, but is this season already over? Like, is this a wasted season pretty much for the Warriors already? Is there any way that they could salvage this? Again, I don't see any, you know, them winning 7 of their next 10 coming anytime soon. It doesn't feel like, oh, you know, the Kings, we can say they haven't really shot well. Kevin Huerter, they haven't looked like the team they were last year. All the pieces are here. There's moments where they look like they can be that team, but they just aren't. You don't see that with the Warriors, really. There's not a – I mean, unless it's going to come from the younger guys just continuing to get better, and maybe – I mean, even Klay's been playing better as of late. I just don't see where that massive improvement comes from Golden State.
Yeah, I don't either. And now that you do have something with Trayce Jackson-Davis and you do have something with Pajemski, I know you're not going to want to move off of those guys
and
now.
And Kuminga's starting now, too.
And Kuminga is starting lineup, to roll, too. Playing so well. I know you don't want to move off of them now. So I don't know what they do. Yeah. I think it's going to be a situation where Andrew Wiggins is a name that gets thrown out there, and that's another one in terms of his value.
I know we got some Klay sound. That's some weird stuff. Like,
yeah,
we got some Klay sound.
And they got to make some tough decisions.
Corners turned. Is that where it is? Where it is like a, hey, we probably should have started to clean our hands of this era in the offseason by letting Draymond walk. Maybe this is like the first step of kind of cleaning our hands a bit. And, you know, Lakers have always kind of been that that rumored location for Klay.
Rury?
His dad was a Laker great. Yeah. So it makes a lot
go
of sense.
Go get Hachimura.
Yeah.
Go get a couple guys for Klay Thompson. And, you know,
Christian Wood.
Yeah, LeBron needs shooters. Let's hear from Klay and what he had to say after the Warriors beat the Magic.
Well, Steve and I had actually a great conversation yesterday. And that helped me relax a lot. Sometimes I forget just how successful and how lucky I've been to be a part of championship teams and all-star games and gold medals. And when you want to get back to that level so badly, you could kind of get in your own way. And rather than forcing it, we had a conversation about just enjoying this last chapter of my career and how lucky I truly am to still be playing this game and doing it at a high level and being a better mentor for these young guys, leading by example and having my energy right every game. And he helped me realize that I do have negative energy, how that affects the team in a poor manner. So we had a great conversation. That just helped me change my whole mindset and forget about shooting splits or points per game or all-star games, and just to enjoy being in this Warriors uniform and appreciate what we built, because it's such a rare opportunity for any professional athlete to be a part of so much success and to try and pass that torch to the younger guys and keep this thing going.
It's one of the saddest
pieces
of audio I think I've heard in a while.
It sounds like he knows that the end is, again, very, very near to being over, and that's... It's about like his, I don't even know what the right word is. It's like you can almost hear him reminiscing in real time and like trying to, sad is definitely it. Like, especially for Klay Thompson, like a dude who has been like super cheery, always really positive, always kind of living outside of the basketball drama and just kind of floating in his own world. His boat, he's got his dog, he's got the scaffolding stuff. Right. You know, he's got the just everything that is Klay Thompson has been great, but it's just, it's really sad to hear a dude. He's 33 right now. He's going to be 34 in about 100 days or so. Like, he's like just barely outside of his prime. Like, you're definitely now starting to see the downturn. Klay's at 16 points per game, which is the lowest he's been at since his second NBA season. You can definitely feel the downturn happening, but man, that piece of audio almost makes it sound like this is Klay Thompson's last dance.
Right, right. And I guess with that being said, you say something like that, and I hate to take it back to the business side, but what's that value? You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, have you kind of tanked your value there? And I hate to say it like that, but...
Right. Acknowledging that you're not... yourself, like that you're just not in that same period of time.
What that says to me is, okay, how is his body?
Yes.
Right? How? Because that was the whole argument with Klay.
Steve Kerr was the one that he talked to about it, which tells me like that's a lot of like, hey Klay, like let's talk about where we're at right now, and that's like a deep conversation,
right? And really, the question is he a starting guard? He's better than a bunch, but he's not a starting guard on a championship team, I guess.
And I mean, I don't think this is maybe Steve Kerr's got some front office experience. I do wonder how much of that is also like you're getting paid $45 million. Like, can we maybe again meet a little bit more at the Klay Thompson that you are today?
Oh, there's
and understand
no doubt. There's no doubt.
You're not a $45 million. And then we just saw the reports the other day, what he turned down a 2-year, $50 million extension or whatever. Like, I wonder how much of all of this is just kind of connected of, hey, dude, like, if you're, like, I just want you to know, like, what we got, like, how special what we got going on and what you've done here is, because if you're really thinking that the grass is greener on the other side, again, we might need to do some talking about who the guy you are right here, right now. And it does sound like Klay... which, you know, Klay would be the type. It sounds like he took it pretty well and kind of internalized it a bit and also is acknowledging, like, my better days are probably behind me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how that turns out. Got to get to a break. When we get back, crosstalk with the Drive guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 15 more minutes with you, taking up to 2 p.m. Great show today. Thank you to everybody in the Sack Chat, all the callers. We are here with the Drive guys.
Hey.
Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. How you doing, guys?
In person?
What's up, fellas?
Not much, you know, just living in this King's excellence, right?
Yeah. I mean, so his name
could you imagine King's being excellence, freaked out by losing to the Hornets?
Well, that's crazy. Yeah, I hope maybe if you listened yesterday, you probably heard something similar. What's up with your guy, Domas Chamberlain? You hear about that?
Yeah, I did. I did hear that. You know, the Kings, if they're a roller coaster, they're one of those old school, like at the Santa Cruz Beach.
Mm-hmm. The wooden ones.
Yeah, what is that? The Grizzly or whatever.
Yeah, not Roar or something.
Ones. They're like, yeah, the ones that rock you a little bit. And you feel
a lot of whiplash. Yeah.
It's like, whoa, man. Yeah, that's the way this season's gone so far.
Yeah, and I don't think we're done. We were looking at the schedule and how they have that. Their second back-to-back is with they're in Detroit and then they're in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So how the Kings are going to come out there. This Raptors game, you know, a team with R.J. Barrett quickly. They're playing well. They're trying. The team that gets the younger guys always gets off to that hot start, and then you see if they sustain it or not. So the question is, will the Kings get that version of the Raptors, or will they start to regress to the mean? And, of course, on Sunday, the long and strong Pelicans. Will it finally be the game? And it's at home. It's at home because they already did the two out in Nolens. So will this finally be the game? We talked about whether or not the Kings have, quote-unquote, turned that corner. I just got to see more. You know, I sat here actually in this very crosstalk, and we talked about expectation for the Kings right when the season started. And Whitey, correct me if I'm wrong, you said, I think they'll be better, but they'll have a worse record. And Kyle Draper, correct me if I'm wrong, you said essentially that 4-6 range.
Okay. I feel like they could go anywhere from 3-6-7. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's what they're trending to right now.
So. And both of you hit it spot on. I came in here thinking that, you know, Kings, and really, I think I represented a lot of Kings fans. If you were this good this season, you should be this much better the next season. And we didn't take into account. I thought the Timberwolves would be good, but the Thunder, we knew they'd take a leap. We didn't think it would be like this, right? And we knew the Nuggets would be around. So they're right about where we thought. It's just you look at how tight things are in the West, and you look at them losing to the Blazers and losing to the Hornets. You think, I hope that doesn't come back to bite you. And I really hope, you know, the Lakers are in shambles right now. The Warriors are going to get Draymond back fairly soon. The Suns, if any of these lower teams do figure it out, that's when some of these games could come back to haunt the Kings. But ultimately, I think until a move is made, as much fun as last night was, I think we know who the Kings are. They are consistently inconsistent.
Could you repeat that, please?
No. There's no shot.
I had the talking with Chris this summer. I think I had the Kings 5th and OKC 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Long ways to go.
Right.
I did not like you. I don't know about Kyle. I don't know. I don't even remember about you, Chris. I didn't see Minnesota doing what they've done so far.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Minnesota's the surprise. I think OKC we saw trending. I will say this about Sacramento. Through 33 games last season, they were 18-15.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a better team.
Yeah.
They are. And if you extrapolate that, Alan, big word, I know, extrapolate, we learned about that in
Jones
Temple.
Word right
that's
there.
A Temple word.
I can spell that too.
If you extrapolate where we were, you know, this season versus last season, you're talking 5 or 6 more wins.
Yeah.
You know, which would take you in that 52-53 range category, which I think would be a huge improvement for Sacramento.
No, I agree.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like they're – it's weird because this season, I mean, yeah, the results have been there, but it just – and maybe it is expectation, but to me it feels like just the swings have been so big. And, yeah, part of it has been the fans and the emotions of everything, but I would even say from an analytical side, like the fact that it's just been – the highs have been so high and the lows have been so low. It's just, it feels like this team you don't have as good of a grasp on how good this team actually is on a given night. I would say last year, you know, for the most part, their offense was good enough to win every night. It was also bad enough to lose any night. But this year, it just feels like with the swings of good and bad, I can't figure out which Kings team is the real one. I think it could just be that's who they are, is a Jekyll and Hyde team, but it's just weird to me that we just haven't seen this team consistently play well for like five games
straight. But didn't we have some highs and lows last season? We had the 7-game win streak. And I'm looking at the schedule from last year. You lose against the Sixers without Joel Embiid,
sure,
and James Harden.
Yeah.
You lose
at home.
Yeah. You lose against Charlotte, who we just lost.
Yeah, that was not fun.
You lose against Washington. Yeah. Time last year, we were 18-15, and it was sunshine and rainbows.
But we didn't get blown out 10 times last year in the 30 games.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, we were all just like flower children. Hey, we're happy to be here last year, and that has worn off. This is a better team. This Sacramento Kings team is a better team than last year's team. But for some reason, we're negative. We're down on this year. We're 20-13.
Yeah.
We would have taken that any of the seasons over the last 20 years.
Definitely.
We've already turned into spoiled Warriors fans right now. We're turned into Celtics fans right now. It's like, oh, man, we got to understand. There's levels to this. There's steps. And we're already ahead of pace.
Yeah.
And we added some new pieces. De'Aaron Fox has taken a step. Domas has taken a step. I get it. You know, we'd like to see more consistency from Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes. But at the end of the day, as Whitey always says, I don't need power rankings. The power rankings are the standings. The record indicates this team is better than last year.
I would say, though, that this team has not shot as well as they have last year. And I think the problem is it feels like this team is only good when they knock down shots. And I think that's what's concerning, is it doesn't feel like this season there's a fallback plan as much as there was last. Like last year, the Kings' half-court offense was sneakily, I mean, their offense in general was ridiculous, but the Kings were top 10 in efficiency at the rim, at mid-range, at three. So they could do De'Aaron Fox running fast breaks all day, but they could also slow it down, go into their offense a bit. They could have Kevin Huerter have 15-point games, and you know, Harrison Barnes was a consistent contributor, Keegan Murray. It just hasn't felt like they've had those highs for as much as they had last year. Last year, it felt like the Kings had a true identity. This year, it feels like there's a lot more variance in what we see from the Kings every night.
Yeah, I really just think it depends on, and every fan, media member, expectations are just different, right? You hadn't tasted the playoffs, and now when did CP3, and he got clowned for it because he said, I'm addicted to this, when he made it to the finals, and then people started making fun of him saying, wow, CP3's been clean for the last 2 years because he hasn't gone back. So maybe there is a little bit of, man, we got a taste of it, and now we want to get to the mountaintop. And to, I guess, Draper's point, it's a process, but it's just understanding how realistic, I guess, we've talked a lot about the timing. We've talked a lot about the window and where this Kings team is. I think last season, if that made them ahead of schedule, I would say they're still on schedule now. But it can be a bit scary just because you never know who's going to pop up.
And you don't want to get behind schedule.
Yeah, right. I think it's as simple as this. And you guys were both here last year. We weren't, so you would know to a degree better than we would. But I think last year was a matter of, who are these guys? Wow, they're pretty good. It was finding out who this team was. This year, I think we more had a sense of, this is who this team is. And we're finding out, oh, maybe they're not the team we thought. So
I take it, and I'm hoping Sacramento Kings fans can look at it like this. They haven't played great. Mm-hmm. They haven't been this juggernaut. But yet they're still 20-13.
Right. And last night was great.
Like, they still have
if we believe there's another gear.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And yet they're 20-13 and we got all these question marks.
Yeah.
If they do figure it out, where can they be at? And there's still time. There's still, you know, a lot of games.
It's not a bad basement.
Right.
I guess it's not a bad basement. If you think they can still do more, and the basement is, if honestly, to your point, even if the basement is seven, right, it's still not terrible because look at the Western Conference is more stacked than ever before, right? It's not ideal. And then you have to have the questions about the trades and the things like that. But yeah, I think that this team can figure some things out. I like what I saw from Keegan Murray. We read off some stats. Keegan Murray inside the three-point line last night was doing a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that this team can really just take control very soon. This is the softest part of their schedule. Mm-hmm. So you got to take advantage. And I think that's the other thing that had me and Chris like, man, it's only going to get harder. You got to go. I don't know. Are you going to be out there in Philly?
Yeah, I'm out there in Philly okay, on that whole road trip.
I know you're going to get the marinara. No, the ketchup. The ketchup
yes,
on the
salt,
cheese
salt, pepper, and ketchup. You know, that's what you do. Salt, pepper, ketchup. That's how you say it.
I know you got that going. Then they'll be in Milwaukee as well. So I think to your point, Draper, I think at the same time, you do have to enjoy what's going on. Now, we got to go, and Nate is making me ask this question because the Lakers are in shambles right now.
Yeah, the LeBron trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you got for me?
Couple picks. LeBron, for
Sacramento? Oh
my Keegan, gosh. Some picks for LeBron.
No.
Wow, you and Chris, same page.
Because no, that doesn't guarantee you a championship.
Sure doesn't.
And LeBron's 39 now.
He sure is.
Like, 12 points last night.
I'm just saying, I had to throw it out
there.
I
love LeBron, but I no.
All you right. know I couldn't. You didn't think I wasn't going
to
do it.
What if
I'm a
it's
man
not
of my word.
Keegan, and what if it's the rights to Rain Fox? In about 18 years. In about 18 years. We'll just give you.
You want me to sell De'Aaron Fox's firstborn, trade him away? No comment on that.
We got to get out of here. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. The Drive Guys up next with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Thank you to Nate Littlefield. Thank you to all the callers. We will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, secure the bag, light the beam.